Is this thing on?
I think I'm doing it.
Boss mode. Initiate.
So yeah, so I wanted to just kind of chat with you about spirituality. We've never talked about this topic before together, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, I guess my question for you is, like, what does spirituality mean to you?
If I'm going to be extremely honest, I want to Google the definition.
Wait a second. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't do it yet. So you're saying, so basically what I'm hearing is you don't have, have you thought about spirituality yourself?
When I think of it, I think of what your beliefs are in the universe, maybe.
Okay. Maybe. Is that what it means to you? Or have you never thought of it as a personal thing?
I don't really think of it like that. I don't get asked that question because I think of it, it's either like your religion, your beliefs, your whatever it is. That's what I think it is. And when someone's like, what's your spirituality? I'd be like, lead the conversation. I'll let you know if I believe in it or not.
Interesting. So you're saying that it's something that you've never actually thought about on your own.
No, I don't really get like that. No.
Okay.
Like I have morals and I have like belief in those morals as in like a karma type of thing and kind of, oh, the universe does this. Okay. I guess this is what the universe wants me to do, but I don't necessarily feel like it's my spirituality because I'm just not like that. In the sense of like I've heard people who are spiritual, they're like, I'm doing this because the universe brought this to me and it is a gift from the universe. And I'm like, that's not me. Like, I don't.
Yeah, no. That's totally interesting. And I think maybe the word spiritual has such strong connotations, kind of like the word meditation, right? Like when you think of meditation, you think of something specific when it might be more fluid. Whereas spirituality, same thing, like you're pinning it on somebody who's like, oh, I'm just like one with the river. And it's like, okay, like that's, maybe it's like the stereotypical spirituality, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's in the dating app I use.
Are you spiritual?
Yeah. Or it's like, what's your religion? And spirituality is a option.
Yeah.
And, I mean, me, I don't put anything.
Right.
It's not important for me.
Yeah,
because it's just nothing that I, like you said, I don't really think about it in that aspect, but I also, you know, I don't have very strong opinions on it, but I would let you know if you're encroaching on the way I live, that's not how I can't function like that. Like, oh, Tori, so this happened. So, you know, you have to do this. And I'd be like, no, you can't. That's not how I live, but I don't mind the positivity, of course. Like, oh, you get this because you've been putting out so much positivity within the universe. Like you did, like this was your gift. And I was like, thanks.
Do you believe that though?
I believe in karma. So I guess, yeah.
Okay. So that's cool. All right. So I guess, do you want me to talk about what it means to me?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So no, it's just interesting because the other day, so I was having a tough day per usual. And, you know, like when I'm having a tough day, I feel like sometimes it's hard to come back to like the present moment because tough days are just like really like all encompassing in the head, you know, like, and you can just like really get like involved in it. And then you're just kind of like walking through it. And so that was like kind of where I was at. And so then I was like, okay, it was like my lunch break, I think. And I was like, I'm going to freaking hop on my bike. Right. So I hopped on my bike, which I don't normally go for bike rides on lunch, but today I was like, I need to clear the air. You know, I just need to like get out and get some sun and get some exercise. And so I was riding, and to me, riding my bike is like grounding me and connecting me to just like back to earth. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so then I sat down on this little bench, and it was like a swing bench. And like, for me, that's like another thing, like that's like special. Okay. So like, for me, spirituality is like little different things within my life that like bring me back. Does that make sense?
Like nostalgia?
No, like bring me back to like, to the unit, like to the ground, like to the present moment. They keep me present, because sometimes I can get really caught up in shit, you know, where I'm either like forward thinking, or I'm thinking in the past, or I'm like really in my head, you know, yeah. And I'm actually like not like fully here. I think we all do that, you know, where we're just like somewhere else. And then for me, spirituality is literally like small moments where I'm able to like connect back to the present moment and like become aware again. Like, okay, hey, like I'm like way over there. And like, this just brought me way back to like right here into this moment, you know? And like, okay. So some of those things like would be like riding my bike, because I'm like, I hop on and maybe not immediately, but at some point I like, I'm like, damn, okay. I'm like here, and I'm like feeling my body moving, and I'm like breathing and like feeling the air and the sun, and like just like the whole experience is like connecting me back to like where I'm at right now. And then like being conscious and like taking that stop by that like bench that's swinging, you know, and then I'm just like sit down and I just like live in that moment. And by like living in that moment, it's like connecting me back to just like what's going on. But I think the misconception about spirituality is that it's like somebody else's belief. But really, I think spirituality is like how you personally like come back and connect with like the present moment in the universe. And that might be religion, or that might be like making a cup of coffee, which is like something that is like very grounding for me, because the way I make coffee is a little bit different.
Nice. Okay. So just to like, because I needed to do this. I Googled it.
Yeah.
Spirituality is the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or soul, as opposed to material or physical things.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's like kind of cool too.
So it also, there's like, how do you define it? Or define it? It involves the recognition of a feeling or sense or belief that there is something greater than myself, something more to being human than sensory experience, and that the greater whole of which we are a part is cosmic or divine in nature. See, I think the second one I read is how I sometimes think of it.
Gotcha.
Like, the universe told me to do this today, so I came here and I got a beautiful photo. And it's like, it's almost taking away any of the like, I don't know the correct terminology right now, but the present thought of being like, I want to take a photo, so I'm going to go to this beautiful place to take a photo, and then, whoa, I got a good photo. Like, no crap.
Yeah.
You were very intentional, the intentions of your experience, and then putting that into like the hands of the unknown. I don't know if I'll get a good photo, but your intentions were. And so of course, when you really strive to be intentional, you might get what you want a little harder, a little better. But I do like your idea of like, it's like something that grounds you, keeping you present, because I definitely am that type of person. Like, cause I am not a religious person whatsoever, that I'm not narcissistic in the sense that I don't feel there is some greater force.
Yeah.
Upon living beings. But I just don't 100% know if I would call that a God. So I don't mind. I don't mind using the terminology universe, but just being like, oh, there's different pulls and pushes and magnetism and all this stuff I believe exists.
Yeah, right.
And that's why sometimes the astrology talk is really intriguing.
Yeah.
Because when they really break it down in the like astrological concepts and all the like different poles and the gravitation and all this, you're like, oh, I mean, it affects the oceans, it affects the mating rituals, might affect something else.
Right.
Which I'm like, yeah, good. Totally good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not proven wrong.
Right. Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you ever feel something, okay, that like hits your soul inside of you where you're like, damn, that was like a moment right there. Like, or like, so like, do you ever have those feelings?
I mean, like that beautiful moments. Like, I think I've had a lot of beautiful moments. I don't know if I recognize like what it means to hit your soul.
Gotcha. Like, what about like, even like a soulmate, like your sister might even be considered like sometimes like she hits like something in your soul.
Like says something that is impactful to me.
Yeah. I don't know. Or like, have you ever met a friend where you're just like, damn, like you get me on a wavelength that is like,
I mean, like, yeah, but I don't know if I would be like, you're my soulmate. Like,
yeah.
I probably wouldn't, like my mind never would go there.
Okay.
More like impressed.
Yeah.
Like, and we've talked about this a few times, but I'd be impressed with their emotional intelligence because I've been told, and I do believe I have a very high emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
So if they can keep up with me, it attracts me. And it's like, I want to know more because I like to be challenged with it and like talk to people about these concepts that are bigger than ourselves and how they get around them and their emotions and feelings behind them and their thoughts behind them. That's the most engaging conversations. I can have conversations like that for hours.
Yeah.
Won't have anything else. And those people are the most intriguing people to me.
Yeah.
And if you want to just talk social media stuff or politics or, pop culture, all this other stuff, I can also engage and I can be intrigued, but if you really want to like entertain me and like get some great, like, oh, like I'm fully invested, frontal cortex is turned on to focus.
Yeah.
The mindful stuff is always there. Like the, why do you think they did that? Why would you do that? Or just, the question,
like curiosity.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Because the human brain is super powerful.
Oh, and, for sure.
And it's that to me is even more intriguing than sometimes like the pulls and the pushes and pulls of the universe is like what the human brain can believe and do.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, for me, I don't think it's necessarily the pushes and pulls of the universe. Like, I think it has to do with my soul, you know? And, like,
Explain.
Yeah, I just think it's, like, connecting with my inner being, you know? Like, it's, like, I think the first time that I thought about spirituality was actually last year, and what happened was, or even maybe 2 years ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, but I remember I just went through, and it was mindfulness, really, that was it, and to me, mindfulness was extremely spiritual, and that's interesting, because that's the brain, right, so,
yeah,
and so it's kind of like what you're saying, I think it's very similar, and, or if not the same thing, you know. But it's just like if you feel it as spiritual or not, you know? And I think spirituality is, like I'm saying, is like personal. So if you connect that with like your inner being, and you're like, damn, like that's something that hits the soul and connects me then to the universe, because I think it does, and connects you with other human beings, you know, like we're all connected. And then you can feel like there's like a feeling behind it. I don't know why, but like there's certain moments that happen, and they don't happen all the time, but when they do happen, I'm like, damn, like that just hit me, you know?
Yeah. Okay. What you were just saying is something that I wanted to jump on, but I was listening. I wasn't just waiting to talk. I promise.
Tell me.
You're like this, it's like this.
Yeah.
And to me, it's called like, it's like the click.
Yeah.
The dumb stuff we talk about that is dumb and obvious, but you don't actually understand it until your brain clicks.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Like,
right. Oh
my gosh. It's almost like what we were talking about. I don't know if it was last episode or whatever. It was about the hooks. Me and you were talking about hooks and that emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Of why I love it so much and why people stick with you and other people can just flutter away. Like there's nothing wrong. Doesn't matter how long you've been with these people. They can easily, you can just like rip them off. Like it's not even a Band-Aid. You're like, whoa, how did that person leave my life so easily? And I don't have emotions. That's crazy. And then other people can leave your life and you're just like torn and broken and always want to text them or talk to them and be like, God, like, why am I so insane? And it's not your insanity. It's they hooked into your mind. And like that connection was like such a big deal to me. I was like, that clicked. And it's an obvious thing. When you make an emotional connection with someone, it's a little stronger than a physical one. And you're like, I know, but then it happens. And that, I feel like that brings me back to something that me and my roommate have been talking about all day, is the choice factor and how important choice is and choosing to understand, or choosing that, like, I want to understand, and having that click happen is so much bigger and so much more impactful than someone telling you about what the click is, because you're getting to do it. It's your initiation. It's everything. Your brain does it. And finally you get it and you're like, holy crap, I just leveled up.
Yeah. It all came together and you didn't even. Yeah. That's so interesting. I can relate to that so heavy because, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, where maybe you've heard the phrase time and time and time and time again. And then it didn't really mean anything until, all of a sudden it meant something, right? It's like, holy shit. Like I've heard that phrase over and over again, you know, or I've gotten that advice before, right? It's the same thing. Yeah. And all of a sudden now it has a completely different connotation and it just changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it until you can.
Right.
And maybe that's another spiritual thing of that. You will never understand until you understand.
Like, yeah.
What?
I do think that's spiritual, you know? And well, and that's the thing is like, that's why I think even contemplating the word spirituality, it's like one of those things where it's like, what do you think it means? And then what does it actually mean to you? Because it's literally the most personal thing that you could ask somebody, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because it really could be anything. It's just like what hits your soul, what resonates with you. And like for you, I mean, you just kind of said like, it's those moments where all of a sudden I get it, you know?
Yeah.
It takes me to the next level. It's me understanding something about myself. And I think that's totally like viable, you know, and valid, obviously, because if that's something that And you said too, like having those conversations, like you can have these kinds of conversations, like these growth mindset conversations and like overcoming tough stuff in life or trying to get to the bottom of, you know, a certain mentality, like all of those things, like light your soul on fire, I would say, because when we talk about these things, they're very passion filled, right?
Yeah.
So, and I do think like, and it's something that you're like, and even being intentional, and that's all wrapped up into everything that we do, like being intentional. And I think intentionality is like the core root of spirituality. Yeah. In my opinion, you know, it's just what I've, and it's just what I've noticed. And I think it's just pretty cool. I think, yeah, I think for me, it's anything that lights my soul on fire, you know, anything that like burns something inside of me, makes me aware, or like makes me feel a certain type of way. And then I'm truly feeling it, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's not knowing what you want or need, but then just satisfying yourself. It's satisfaction to me.
To you? Yeah.
I'll say to me because I saw your face.
Yeah. Well, right. Because it, yeah. All right. So tell me. Go ahead. Yeah,
it's because, like, it's like if you're hungry for something, you're like, I don't know what it is. I don't know. So I'll try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that. Try a little, oh, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. And all of a sudden you find it. Like, oh, that's what I needed. Oh, I feel so good now. Like I finally have this satisfaction of like a breath. Like, oh, that's what I needed.
Do you see it? It's interesting where you put your hands at that point too, because I feel like that would be like representative of your soul. You're like, oh, that's what I needed. And then you.
Yeah.
Meh.
But yeah, it's definitely. It's definitely along those lines of not necessarily because of the, maybe I'm just not that in tune with my soul yet to not really know what it needs all the time. But like, I know when I need to connect to nature, I know when I need to go outside and do run, you know, I understand when I am in need mode, like I'm in need of something, but I don't always know, like, I don't know, like, oh, that means I need to ride my bike. You know, I'm probably still just a little unaware of the inner needs of my soul, but I do know it reminds me a little bit of our podcast with Lieutenant Roz about like, or I believe she said this on our podcast. If she didn't say it on our podcast, it's a conversation I've had with her before.
Mm-hmm.
It's those tasks or things you need to do that don't drain you, but fill you back up.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it for sure. Yeah.
Like, 'cause you're doing work of some sort, but instead of exhausting you, it refills you.
Right. Which is interesting because you could take that with like a grain of salt and it might not be spirituality, but then at the same time it could be, you know? And I think awesome. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it is for me actually. Yeah. I think that's a great way to look at it.
Do you mind if I don't know if this goes in the same realm.
Yeah.
If it does or if it doesn't, you can be like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But something that came up and what I kind of brought it up a little bit was the choice factor.
Yeah.
And people's decisions and how much more it impacts when you know someone chose to do this themselves or had that intention and they did it themselves versus like you told them and so they did it. Right. That's another duh.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I was speaking to my roommate about this book called, okay, I gotta pull it up. It's basically talking about monogamy.
Mm.
So again, if this is something that's a little uncomfortable, please let me know and I will stop. But it's called The Ethical Slut.
Mm.
I am going to be reading this on Tuesday when it arrives. And basically it speaks about why the author and the people feel as though humans were not supposed to be monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
But it like how it's just not, it, it it was put in place for a power and control versus actual necessity and need. And that is one of the reasons why they feel, and the author explains that that's why a lot of marriages don't succeed and a lot of relationships in general don't succeed, is because they're put on, all these pressures are put on them, and that people believe what it's supposed to be. And instead they talk about polyamory or open relationships and how these people react differently to these constraints because they don't believe that monogamy means only being with one person for the rest of your life, but instead choosing to be with one person, but still having those physical contacts if they would like them. Yeah. But you're actually connected emotionally to one person. So it's not monogamous, but it's a different take on what monogamy might actually be.
Right.
And so I'm super intrigued.
Yeah, that's super interesting.
I'm like, I would love to read more about this. I think it's very interesting as somebody who doesn't have relationships ever. But it then brought up my question of like, so it literally just tells you that this person chose to be with you. They can go share their bodies if they would like, because that's not the main reason why they're with you, is not for the physicality, but it's actually the spirituality or emotional connection that they made with the person. And so there's no jealousy or envy of sharing the body. It's more of, and again, I've never read the book, so I could be kind of misquoting it right now. Yeah. But
oh man.
Right. Like, I'm like, this is from a second party who read the book, whom I'm going to read now, but
yeah,
but it's more about respecting that they chose you and the importance of they chose you and they're choosing you.
Mm. Yeah. And tell me like what intrigues you about that?
I think choice, because like, I mean, I have to deal with a lot of problems day to day that aren't always mine, but I have a lot of problems myself, but I share them with my inner circle and we talk about a bunch of stuff to try to help one another get through these bumps and hiccups in life. And you hear a bunch of the issues are people not choosing to handle their own problems, but then having other people want to solve their problems for them.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the solution would easily be, they just need to choose to do this. But you can't tell someone.
Right.
You can't help them, because then it literally negates anything they do.
Right. And this book and this concept is pretty cool, because the person at the end of the day is choosing somebody definitively spiritually.
Yeah.
And that's And it, maybe it's more appreciated, you think, because it's like holding that connection on a higher pedestal and it is more connected, or what do you think?
Again, I have not read the book yet, so I can't get too in depth with what it's going to attempt to say. But from my understanding is that, yes, it's supposed to talk about how maybe monogamy is not what people believe marriage is, but it is just being loyal to someone's mind and soul versus their physicalities.
Okay, let me ask you this question. So, and this is the interesting part, and this definitely circles back to spirituality, but we're talking about the mind and soul. And so that's two separate things, right?
I guess, yeah.
Or you tell me what you think.
I don't remember. Soul is not a good conversation for Tori.
I know, but it's interesting because it's not a good conversation, that makes it even more interesting. Because you did just say, like, it's, you know, good for the mind and soul. That's what the
book, I think, is explaining.
Okay, interesting. Well, you know, it's funny because this stuff, oh man, I think I went down a rabbit hole a while ago about the mind and soul. And there's like different concepts and like different things that people believe. And I know, like, for instance, there's one called duality or dualism. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I have heard of duality.
Okay, so in the philosophy of mind, dualism is a theory that the mental and the physical, or mind and body, or mind and brain, are in some sense radically different kinds of things. I remember researching this and I was like, shit, dude, because that's just it. Mind-body dualism, a philosophical view which holds that mental phenomena are, at least in certain respects, not physical phenomena, or that the mind and the body are distinct and separable from one another. Which is actually interesting because, I mean, hang on. And that's really actually not talking about the mind and soul. That's talking about the mind and body. So I wonder if there's, yeah. And it's interesting because what is the difference between mind and soul? And that's where it does get very, I guess, you know, spiritual, right? Is differentiating that.
Yeah, I would not know.
Soul and spirit. And it's funny, Tori, because I don't know, like, even when I was younger, I think I've always had that, like, soul. Like, I always connected things to my soul, you know? Like, music. Remember when we were talking the other day?
Yeah.
And you're like, what pumps you up? And for me, it's like, what hits my soul? You know?
Yeah. Which is interesting, because I remember I was like,
you're like, I don't get what you're saying.
Well, no, I got what you're saying. I just don't see how it could actually, like, get you in, like, when I say pump up, I'm like,
right.
I was saying, like, get a sale, like, girl, go win that basketball game, go get that, you know, whatever. And then you're coming out with these, like, songs that are like Sarah McLachlan songs, you know, like, I will remember you.
Okay, first of all, Ruth.
But you know what I mean? Like, they were like very emotional songs that were not very, like, and I was like, that pumps you up.
I was sad. I've been sad, Tori.
Right, but like, you know what I'm, you know what I mean.
I know, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah.
Just fucking with you.
But yeah, I was just like, that, what? You would play that and then go, like, punch a girl in a boxing ring? Like, which way?
No, I would not. I would cry. All right, well, this is bullshit, dude. Everything that you search on soul right now is just garbage.
Aw.
Yeah, that's sad. I think
so.
I think
it's the real answer, there is no soul. I sold my soul. I live in LA.
I mean... That's funny. But no, that was a cool conversation though. It's always interesting to talk about that because it's so different for everyone. But yeah, I read a couple books that hit me in the feels, that like changed my whole perspective. And I remember the way they made me feel was like unlike anything else, but it was kind of like that click we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like a piece of my life that was missing. And that book was...
The Power of Now
by Eckhart Tolle. And then the second one was A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose.
Dang.
It was fire. Fireball. And when we talked to Kalen, he mentioned Eckhart Tolle in one of those books. Yeah.
That's really cool. And honestly, like, I think it's really cool that you will read something and be able to initiate it into your life. I think that's a huge plus that a lot of people, I don't think, know how to do. Yeah. So maybe that's a podcast we have to do.
Like, yeah.
How do you read or listen to a podcast or do something and actually use what that person is saying and like transfer that into your life and level up?
Yeah,
because we both have been doing it,
right?
Because like our podcasts are us learning That's why this podcast is so fun. It's like, yeah, ever since we started it, I don't know about you, I feel like I've leveled up like 10 times.
Totally. Yeah, dude. 100%.
But what we did is we got intentional. We had like drive. We're like, okay, we're going to do this. We want to initiate this. Boss mode initiated. Yeah. And then we're going to follow through because we're holding each other accountable.
Right. Right.
It's just really cool. It's cool to think about.
Yeah.
I actually did have a conversation with my life coach today where she was seeking advice from me. Mm-hmm. And we had a very long conversation, a big discussion, used a lot of mind and emotional control, emotional intelligence. And then afterwards, like, she actually talked to me about being like, you know, like a while ago, we could not, like, you were not at a level that I could seek this type of counsel from you.
Mm.
I know, like, and she won't ever admit that I'm on her level. She doesn't think I'm on her level. I don't think I'm on her level necessarily, but she said I'm three levels. Like if I have like three levels behind her or three levels in between, like I can at least counsel her to get where she needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we did, was like, I used my own perspective to help her change her perspective by like telling me things. And I'm like, well, this sounds like this to me. And then she would be like, okay, no, let's try again. And then I'd try again. And eventually we got to where we needed to be, but it was just kind of cool to hear like I'm asking you for advice now because you're getting there. I was like, ooh, yay, winning a little bit. And you feel it. I actually feel it in my day-to-day life, where I experience things and I'm able to pause, like almost like slow the world down to be like, how should I react to this? What is the best way to react to this? And do it.
Yeah.
Because, and then like giggle about it too. Be like, this actually happened to me. Look at this. I'm like, this is ridiculous that this is happening to me right now. And I'm handling it because that's what I need to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that pause is extremely important. Like it's funny because that's what's been prevalent in my life as well, is learning how to pause, learning how to take that moment to step back and say, what's going on here? Where do we need to go? How am I going to react?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so silly that slowing down delivers the result that you're looking for, you know?
Yeah. And that goes back to the apology podcast too. Like how Dr. Lerner was literally saying, like even just slowing down your speech can help. Like, slower. You see, and she's like, I talk really, really slow, and people get annoyed about that. But even just talking slower with someone can help regain that control over the conversation. And not like controlling it as in like,
Right. No, it's different. Like, it's different. Yeah. It's and it's not control over the conversation. No. It's control over how you respond to specific things that
it might be emotionally hijacked.
Right.
Emotionally triggered people and how you're really supposed to handle them.
Right.
And how you're supposed to just like take that pause, escape, be like, hey, I can't hear you right now. Time to, I gotta go.
How cool is that? That's a great one. I can't hear you right now.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
I was used to me, you know, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And that instantly triggered me to be like, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to leave. Obviously we cannot talk right now. And that alone for me to get out of a conflict, like,
yes, yes. Like,
okay, you said it. You said the words. I'm a leave.
Yeah. That's good. Put your weapons down, you know, surrender. Yeah. 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 And that is key.
It's huge.
That is key. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's super cool.
I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter.
Same girl. Same.
Yeah. Yep. Like, no, we're going to kill each other here before we end. Like,
right. And what you realize through that process is that when you put your weapons down, you, first of all, you get to see like where the other person is coming from, because you actually can't get that perspective if you're coming with your attack, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you get to see where that other person is coming from, it's way easier to have empathy and to like move the conversation into a way more positive place. And in reality, like you think that you have better like control over how things are going to go if you bring your weapons. But actually, the ninja like warrior move is having that yes, and it's not even it. But it is. I mean, it isn't, because you're actually like there. You're present, right? Because the other one is you not being present. It's literally just spewing whatever's coming out. It's like all your feelings, you know?
Yeah,
and that's actually, I think, that what emotional intelligence is like. That was a huge level up on emotional intelligence. That's seeing what the other person is feeling, knowing how you're feeling, taking your time to feel it, and then being able to like respond accordingly. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, and I don't think, like, as of right now, I'm going to stick to how I'm saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the most powerful form of communication right now in this time is actually text messages. Oh,
you think so?
I do, because if you use them correctly, you can be the most precise and emotionally intelligent person out there, because I have a choice when I press send, and I have a choice to reread this over and over again to make sure that all my words are intentional. None are accusatory. All are nonviolent communication.
Yeah.
And then state my piece and send it their way. And they can choose to react or do whatever they want or not even read it or whatnot. But like face to face with someone, that's rough.
Yes.
That's where Right.
That's where you feel things and you perceive things, and you're seeing like micro facial expressions that might dictate like how they feel and then how you interpret it. And it might be a trigger from when you were younger, because somebody, you know, would look or feel a certain way and then you're interpreting how they feel, and it's actually not even true. And you want to know something? This book I'm reading right now, which is Permission to Feel, it was talking about how even like different cultures, the way that they evaluate emotions are different from each other. So a lot of the times, like for instance, and that's probably something like that you and Anya experience actually, is where, you know, like Anya's family and like the way that they grew up communicating and like how they perceive emotions are different from how you grew up communicating with your family and how you guys perceive emotions. So you could really think that your conflicts are two completely different things. Which actually makes sense in the grand scheme of things because of like where things have gone, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I go about, and I'm going to stick with the text message thing, because
it takes the bias out of it. It's just more so.
Totally does. Just literally state your piece and send it on your way. And if you F up in a text message, that speaks a lot in my mind, a lot, because you chose to press send. You had unlimited amount of time, because there is actually no rule of when you need to text back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you get to control the narrative on your side.
Yeah.
And it's all about how emotionally intelligent you are about this and how you're going to go about it. What do you want out of this conversation? And this text message can get it or freaking wreck it.
Right.
And it's just, to me, it's just so important. Like, I think text messaging is so important. And I guess it's any written communication, because like it's written. I have it here. There's no false words. I can bring up what you said again and again and again and reread it again and again and again.
Yeah.
And that's why I am super intentional on text messages. And I feel like they are some of the gifts we have nowadays, is that you can tell me I can't hear you right now. And then I can go and I can spend 20 minutes writing my text message. And I said 20 minutes. I don't know how long it's going to take, but writing a message to you that I needed to say that you weren't ready, and you don't have to read it. But I got my piece out. And as a person who I try to be as emotionally intelligent and positive and non-conflict wordage, I feel good about the message. And usually the person also is like, oh shoot, like, okay, maybe I was in my feels, and maybe I was in my feels and I need to apologize about that. But I just think it gives you so much time and space, and you're allowed to just take those moments and have that pause in the text message and reread and reread and try again. I just think it's cool. I think it's cool. And I think that if more people were it means more. I believe it means more when they're able to like say it in person and just be like totally correct and awesome. But if you want to take the pressure off yourself, I think text messaging is the way to go.
Yeah. That's cool. And I think it's a good skill. I think it's a good skill to maybe practice to map those things out. I mean, really, like, when you're writing, it's still communication. And when you are to have those conversations in person, I think after having so much practice with texting, it will probably be even better.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, it's the format, right? So.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
I think we're good. Are you good?
Yeah.
Dude, this is weird. I don't know if this is going to be a podcast, but we were just like, I like it's going down the rabbit hole of spirituality and things we'd like to talk about this weekend.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we'll see. You should give it a listen and see if you feel comfortable with it, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I think that it's just literally in the description, I think I'll just put like...
down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, down the rabbit hole. See what happens when we had nothing planned.
Yeah, for sure.
So there is no intro, there is no outro. It's just...